the word Advent means we're looking forward to something. We're anticipating Christmas. We're anticipating the coming of Christmas. And actually, a lot of churches practice what is called Advent, and that's the 4 weeks prior to Christmas. Every Sunday or every week, they just begin to anticipate that time when Jesus was born. And actually, that's a lot of the stories that we have about the first Christmas. It's leading up to that event. What happened leading up to that? And if you haven't purchased your Christmas presents yet, let me give you some ideas. I looked online, and these are still available. Amazon, you can get an 18-karat diamond sapphire necklace for $114,000. So if you're looking for something for that special someone, and so ladies, you would like to receive that. And so they have some men's cologne. It's called Clive Christian Imperial Majesty for Men. One bottle is $435,000. Could you imagine what one drop costs? I don't know, but that's a lot. But it's too late. On eBay, you could have gotten a Gulfstream jet for $40 million, a 405-foot yacht. They sell this online on eBay. 405-foot yacht for $140 million. You could have purchased the town of Albert, Texas for $2.5 million. 2002 Ferrari sports car for $1 million. 1909 Honus Wagner baseball card went for $1.2 million. Too bad you put yours in the spokes of your tire so your bike could sound like it had a motor. And or you could have gotten a pair of pre-1900 Levi jeans. Yeah, not acid washed, not anything like that. They are they're labeled time worn. 1900 for $60,000 a pair. Okay. We're not getting any of that. Okay. But I love Christmas. I am one of those goofy guys that I was looking for a radio station that would play Christmas music as early as possible. And so I found one that started playing it November the 1st. I know, some of you don't even know. I know one guy, he will not play it until 2 weeks before Christmas. I say, man, I'll do it 2 months before Christmas. I just like hearing the music. And now Judy's not. Judy, I cannot turn my Christmas lights on until after Thanksgiving. So that's her rule. So I know that it's Christmas at our house because she is playing her Barbara Mandrell Christmas album. And so I was able to hear, that in the background as she was doing her decoration. But we have about all the decorations finished. We still have a little bit of Christmas presents to purchase. But it's something that you either look forward to or you have to do it. You can't wait for the last minute. I guess if you're like my dad, he would go out December the 24th. How have you Christmas shop December 24th, the day before? All right, more power to you. Is my son Josh in here? Good. we had a gift exchange one time, and he bought some really nice presents. They were DVDs, because that was about all they had at the gas station on December the 24th. Everything. He didn't understand why Meijer and all the rest of the places, they actually closed at 6 o'clock at night, and there is nothing open except the gas station. So he got gas station DVDs. And so it's a good thing they were family approved. But, he bought some of that. But, we're anticipating Christmas. We're looking forward to Christmas. We love it. We're going to have a good time. All of our kids are going to be together. They're all going to come up here, and we're going to have some fun times together, and it's good. I can look back, and I think that's part of what Christmas does. It brings back so many fun memories and good memories. I can remember my grandpa and grandma and going down to their house and going to my other grandparents and playing with my cousins and figuring out what toy I could take to grandma's because I could only take one toy. My mom would warn me, don't take one that might break because, those cousins are going to be there, and so you don't want to, have your toy broken the first day of, you have it, and so, that I love the memories and the things, but let's just be perfectly honest, and this is what I want to kind of think about. There are some Christmases that aren't very good at all. there are some Christmases that they were just horrible. When we had our church fire back in 1996, that was probably one of the worst Christmases we have ever had. Woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, fire department called me. I just lived right up here off the street, and I could look out, and I could see the church in flames. And not this building, but it was a previous building. And we did not have Christmas that day. It was just horrible. And so, you know, and we've all had those where either sickness or illness or something's going on or somebody had passed away and they weren't there anymore, and it can become really hard. And let's just be perfectly honest. For some in this room right now, this Christmas is not going to be a very good one. And you already are anticipating that you don't want to go through Christmas because it's just going to be different. It's going to be hard. Somebody's not going to be there that usually is there or could be there. Situations are different, or financially we're not going to have as good a Christmas as we thought. And sometimes even though, and I'll tell you what's really hard, is when everybody else is looking forward to Christmas and you wish you could just, have you ever seen the movie Christmas with the Cranks, where they just bypass Christmas? You wish you could just get on a plane and be gone for a couple of weeks and Christmas would just pass you by. And it can be really, really bad. We probably the worst anticipated Christmas we had was back in 2006. My two daughters, Jennifer and Jill, both graduated, one from college and one from high school. My daughter Jennifer decided on her own that what better thing to do for a single college graduate but head down to South America to be a missionary working on at a Christian school. And so she was going to leave that summer and be gone for 2 years. My son, who had been in Marine Reserve, they had called him up to active duty, and he was going to take off that same summer, and he was going to go to Kuwait and eventually spend at least 6 months, up to a year in Iraq, serving in that area when it was at its worst. And so we knew that he was going to be gone for Christmas. So there's my oldest daughter and my oldest son. And then lo and behold, about a week and a half after my daughter graduated from college, my mother, completely out of the blue, passed away from what we believe was a coronary, maybe heart attack or aneurysm or something like that. She was writing a letter to my brother that's a missionary to Cambodia. And when they found her the next morning, she still had the pen in her hand that she had just passed away suddenly. I still remember getting the phone call, and so I knew that my mom wasn't going to be there. I shared with you last week that my dad had passed away several years earlier, and so it was always a different Christmas without my dad. Well, now it's going to be a really different Christmas because my two oldest kids aren't going to be there, and my mom is never going to spend a Christmas with us again until we all get to heaven. And so it's just going to be a really bad Christmas. So we were not looking forward to Christmas that year. And maybe this is one of those Christmases that you just look at and you say, you know what, I'm not looking forward to what's going to happen. It's just going to be a difficult, difficult time. The very first Christmas had its situations. It had its circumstances. So if you want to look in Matthew chapter 1, we looked last week at Matthew chapter 2, and we saw the wise men, how Christmas gave them hope. And what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about the fact that Christmas, we want to make sure that it centers on love. In spite of all the changes, in spite of all the circumstances, the things that are out of our control, the things that are in control, I want us to embrace the Christmas season and realize that the greatest thing that we could experience at Christmas is love. In spite of the losses, in spite of the hurts, in spite of the changes, in spite of the loneliness, in spite of the memories that it'll never be the same again, we can look and see from this story, and this is the story of Joseph. This is Joseph's side of the story. And I want to see that we can bring the love back into it. Because when you have love, you've got it. You've got the center of Christmas. So we're going to look at that. So Matthew chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 18, and I'm just going to kind of draw a few things out of this. We won't take very long here at all. It says in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Notice espoused. Some versions say engaged. Espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, divorce her. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and he quotes an Old Testament prophecy, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. To understand this correctly, there's a couple of things I need to kind of lay out, because this is all biblical stuff, biblical times that was going on there. King James Version, it says that they were espoused, and then it called Joseph her husband. What was going on? In our day and time, the typical routine for getting married is you date somebody for a while. Some people go into what's called courtship, which basically is dating with a purpose. You know, you're not just having a good time, you're dating for serious to get married. So dating, courtship, and then you get engaged. That makes it official. You're now have changed from girlfriend, boyfriend to fiance. And then you have the wedding and you are married. Back in the Bible times, it was just a little bit different. A lot of the marriages were arranged by your parents when you were very, very young. Some of them happened, some of them didn't. But as you got older, you entered into what was called a betrothal. And that was a promise. Usually the groom would have to go and get approval from the bride's father. He would have to pay a dowry, a payment. The dad could set a price for his daughter. That kind of sounds chauvinistic, kind of sounds sexist. But actually what it was women had very few options. And if the future husband ever reneged on his deal, then her dad had some money that he could take care of her. And so it was kind of a down payment that the man was going to keep her for the rest of his life. And so they were espoused. It was a legal contract. You were considered husband and wife, but you had not consummated marriage. You hadn't started living together. Typically what happened is you got permission from your bride's dad, and you went out and started a business. You went out, Joseph probably went out and started his carpentry business to get a house, to get everything all ready. When everything was all ready, he went back and they had the wedding, they got married, and he took her to his house. So that's what the espousal was. You were legally husband and wife, but you weren't yet married. It was like an engagement, except with strings attached, with legal aspects. And the only way to get out of an espousal, a betrothal, that engagement period was you had to divorce them. And actually what happened was Joseph found out that she was pregnant and he knew that it wasn't his baby. And the kindness of Joseph and the love that he had, and that's where the sinner's in love, the love that he had for Mary, he could have had her killed. It was a capital offense. Adultery was a capital offense. And he could have had her killed, but he chose not to. And he could have divorced her publicly and made her shameful, but he chose to divorce her privately. It says, but while he thought on that, an angel came and told him, says, hey, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is a God thing. She is still a virgin. And that is the miracle. The miracle is she was a virgin. She remained a virgin all the way until after she had Jesus. So the virgin, that's a prophecy in the Old Testament. A virgin is going to have a baby. And the virgin birth is important because there is no earthly father. It's a heavenly father. Jesus was genetically perfect. He had no sin nature. Hate to say it, guys. Sin nature is passed on from the man. You ladies knew that all the time. Sin is always passed on. Guys are always sinning. And say it is all our fault. But at least we didn't eat the apple first. That's what I say. Come on, preach it, buddy. Yeah. But anyway, sin nature, and Jesus didn't get the sin nature because he had a heavenly father. And there was a virgin birth, and this is what is so beautiful. And I'll talk this as I get into Luke in 2020. He was a human being. He had Mary's facial features. Just like you can see your face in your child, Mary could look down at the baby Jesus and see her face in God's face. How cool is that? He was very God and very man. He was 100% man and 100% God. That's why he is, even as a human being, even as a person, he is so good. And it had to take a perfect child to die on a cross, to pay for our sins, and that's what Jesus did. It says his name is going to be called Jesus. You're going to get married, and you're going to be his dad. Not his biological father, but you're going to adopt him. And that is actually, he legally adopted him. Earlier in Matthew, you see this genealogy, you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. This is Joseph's line. This is Joseph's heritage all the way back to Abraham and all the way back to David. So he adopted Jesus into his family. And there's a lot of neat things about that whole genealogy and what it means. But he became Jesus' father. And it says that Jesus was going to die for their sins. And that Jesus' perfect blood was shed on the cross. Perfect blood. And most of us know that there's a problem when blood is transferred from the mother to the embryo, to the infant. That's not a good thing. The blood always comes from the father. And Jesus' blood came from his heavenly father. So when he shed his blood on the cross, it wasn't just typical human blood, although it was human blood. It was God's blood that was shed for us. There's a lot that goes into all of this. But Joseph had a tough decision to make. He got this in a dream. How about you? But I've had dreams where I thought it was true. I've had people that, you know, came back and I thought but Joseph had this dream, and I wonder when he woke up, did this come from God, or was this something that I ate, or what was this? He got this in a dream, and he had to make a decision. His decision was, am I going to obey God and marry Mary? Am I going to fulfill this? Am I going to take this baby into my family? Am I going to adopt this little boy? Or am I going to just go on and just carry my life? And it's more than all of that, because the gossip mill in this little bitty town of Nazareth, which is where they grew, where Jesus grew up, and where this was all happening, they all knew. I mean, a single girl that's pregnant, everybody knows about that. And Joseph was going to have to take that kind of ribbing from everybody. In fact, it was probably going to cost him some jobs as a carpenter. And so he had to decide, am I going to follow God, or am I going to, look out for myself? And he chose to follow God. This is a love affair between Joseph and Mary. And the strains that happened in that, and yet Joseph, it was a love affair between Joseph and God. He chose to follow through and adopt Jesus and become Mary's husband because he loved God with all of his heart, and he loved Mary with all of his heart. That's where it kind of centers with, is love. And it goes on and it says that he ended up, getting married. There's something that's interesting about the whole story of Joseph, because in chapter 1, it's all about Joseph. I've looked throughout the Bible. I've read all the gospel accounts. Joseph never says a word. We find Mary talking. We find Elizabeth talking. We find Zacharias talking. We find John the Baptist talking. But Joseph doesn't say a word. I think he's just a typical guy. Yeah? I mean, there's enough talking going on between the girls that he just doesn't say a word. He doesn't get a chance to. And so Joseph is there, and he doesn't say a word. As a matter of fact, if you know the story in Luke chapter 1, where Mary's relative, Elizabeth and Zechariah, when Zechariah starts talking, God stops his talking. It's like God won't let him talk. Guys, if you're single, just realize this. Once you get married, the talking is over. You might as well just keep quiet. Here's what you can say, okay? Here's some words that every woman likes. I was wrong. It's all my fault. Those are good words that they want to hear. That's what they want to hear. No, that dress does not make you look fat. Those are good words. As a matter of fact, you could eat a little bit more. You're going down to barely anything, okay? There's a few things that every woman wants to hear, but Joseph was just a quiet guy. He was a Pat Crafts, a Keith Schroeder. He was one of those guys that doesn't say a word. The strong, silent type, and that's okay. That's okay. It's okay, guys, for us to be quiet. Because I found this out. When I talk, I get in trouble. When most of the time, my biggest time getting in trouble is when I opened up my stupid mouth. And I just sit there and I go, why didn't I just keep my mouth shut? Why did I say that? Why did I react that way? And sometimes I don't know it. It sounded good up here. It sounded good coming out of my mouth, but evidently when it got in her head, it got switched. And she said, did you say, and all of a sudden I thought, I didn't say it like that, but I guess that is what I said. And so sometimes it is good, guys, for us to be quiet. But Joseph doesn't say a word. But it is about relationships. We may not be able to go back and have the relationships that we used to. Some relationships are strained. Some things are difficult. We can't replay it and do it all over again, but it's about the relationships, love. So this is kind of what I have. Regardless of what you're spending your money on or something like this, I just kind of want to make it real practical about what Christmas is all about. So here's just two things really quickly, and we'll be finished. Number one, relationships are more important than accomplishments or accumulations. Christmas, a lot of times, is all about getting stuff and giving stuff and doing stuff. Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph had all this, and he took a risk, and his risk was, I want to make sure I do what God wants me to do, and I want to make sure I have a good relationship with this Mary lady. Relationships are way more important than accomplishments or accumulations. The relationships that we have with our people. You may not be able to mend all the relationships, but make sure you take care of the relationships that you have right now. They may not be perfect. This may not be the ideal Christmas that you've ever experienced. It may be a very hard Christmas, but don't let all your hoping of what it could be like spoil what it is like. Embrace whatever God has for you this Christmas. And the second thing is, true riches are not found in the accumulation of wealth, but the investment of love. It's not an accumulation of wealth. It's not getting stuff. It's not the presents. It's not buying this. My other title for this sermon was, The Gift That Money Can't Buy, and that's love. To love the people that you are around. That first Christmas was really, really difficult. I'm sure Joseph had some idea of what he wanted. Now, they weren't celebrating Christmas, but how he wanted his relationship to be, but it was not going to be what he wanted. But you know what? He decided to follow God, to do what God said, and to have a wife, and to be the father of Jesus. No matter the risk, no matter what everybody else thought, and we actually find out in the Gospels that there was probably some gossip going on about Jesus and about Joseph and about Mary and that little bitty town that everybody knew. But he was willing to take the risk. And you know what? This may not be your ideal Christmas, but if you have Jesus Christ and your relationship with him is good, it'll still be a good Christmas. And embrace the relationships and the people that are in your life right now. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, regardless of what's going on in your life, you can have the best that Christmas can give when you have Jesus, because he is the original Christmas gift. He is the best and the most valuable Christmas gift. And to personally trust him as your own personal Lord and Savior, just like Joseph had to trust God, trust Jesus. He'll make that Christmas for you. I want to kind of finish it up with this. I mentioned about I know it may be a bad wording, but the Christmas, the year from hell, 2006, it was horrible. Have you ever had one of those years that just said, I am glad this year is over? And I know that hell is going to be a lot worse, but it was just horrible. I mentioned to you, and most of you know our story. But my son ended up going to Iraq, and he was there for 3 weeks, and ended up getting shot by a sniper, almost killed. Ended up coming home, and while he was home, he decided he's going to get married. And so that next year, 2007, we ended up adding somebody to our family, Haley. And so Haley came into the family, so they got married. And so, but anyway, my mom had passed away. And because Josh got shot, Jennifer decided that she wanted to come home and see him, because when things happen, you want to be with family. So Jennifer was home. So everybody was all home, except my mom wasn't there. And so we met at my family's house, my mom and dad's house. Met at my mom and dad's house, but mom and dad weren't there. That's just a weird thing, you know? And so we were all sitting around there. My sister was living in the house. So my sister did something really bad. I'll blame her for it. She went down the basement and going through all my mom's stuff. And she wrapped Christmas presents from my mom to give us, as if my mom was going to give it to us. And so she went down and she found, my dad was in the service. He served in Germany in the army back before I was born. And so when my dad died, they ended up giving, you know, my mom a flag. And there's only one way that you can get a flag like this, and that is that somebody in the service died and they give the closest relative this flag. And so they gave that flag to my mom. So we're all having fun and we're laughing and we're trying to, you know, enjoy Christmas without my mom being there. And so my sister said, well, I went down to the basement and I wrapped up some Christmas presents, and so we all started opening it. So she said, we opened this, and I opened it up, and it was my dad's flag. And she gave that to me, and she said, you're the only one in the family that would really appreciate this as much as you do. And all of a sudden I realized, you know what, my mom got this, and we came that far away from getting one ourselves when Josh didn't get shot. And so I anticipated the worst Christmas of not having, you know, my mom and my son and my daughter, but I ended up looking around and my son was back, he was alive, my daughter was back, she was alive, my mom wasn't there, but she was home. And I said, you know what, I wish I could change Christmas, but it's still a good Christmas. When you have love and the people that are around you and you build those relationships and you get back, you can still have a good Christmas. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I don't know what you're anticipating for your Christmas. If it's going to be a hard one, my heart goes out to you. I know what it's like to be facing a Christmas that you wish you could bypass. But I just want to encourage you to embrace the relationships that you have. First of all, your relationship with Jesus Christ. As difficult as this Christmas might be, it'll be just a little bit better when you can embrace Jesus. And if you never trusted him as your Savior, I encourage you to do that today. And if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh my, when you've got Jesus, you've got Christmas. It's not just once a year, it's all through the year. He continuously blesses us with gifts that we don't deserve. So I hope that not just at Christmas, but throughout the year, that you'll embrace him and the relationships that God has given you.